denominational systems that are wrapped up into the same thing that she's wrapped up into. She is considered the mother of harlots, and I mean, she's the mother of all the other denominational systems that we see here on earth today. And we found out that God's prophet was the angel that screamed out, "Come out of her, my people." That's what this message did. It pulled us out of denominational systems. Amen. And anybody that once you've been in and you see the light of it, you see other people that are in it, it's easy for you to tell, you can tell them easily some of the things that are going to be happening there within the ranks of their church. Many of them trying to hold on, hoping things are going to change, but it won't change. Amen. You have, if you want something to change, you have to be the one to change by coming out of it. Amen. Don't stay in it. So let's keep going forward here in our study on the book of Revelation as we enter into Revelation 19 tonight. Verse 1 says, "And after these things," and now when it's referring to after these things, it's referring to, you know, after the Catholic Church and denominational systems have come to complete their destruction. Here the scripture says, "After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Amen. So this is what we'll be studying over the next few weeks here, Revelation 19. Just want to kind of read the entire chapter there so that we'll know where we're coming from. We'll be picking up bits and pieces here through the message that God's prophet has brought us. We'll read our first quote here out of the breach. Amen. The breach between the seven church ages and the seven seals. I have a couple of quotes that we want to just kind of make mention of here. In this particular quote, Brother Random says, now, let's see here. Says, now we're going to turn to the fifth chapter. Now, this is not the seven seals. It is the breach between the church ages and the seals. There's also a sixth chapter, and there was a fourth chapter, rather, of Revelation. And in that, it kind of reveals something that would take place. It reveals something that would take place after the church going up. That the church goes up on the third chapter of Revelations and does not return until the 19th chapter of Revelations. And this is something I hear Brother Branham say oftentimes. I think when I first used to hear this, like, wow, now that's kind of striking. Like God is not dealing with the church after the third chapter. If you read, you know, Revelation 1, 2, and 3 is speaking of the, you know, especially chapter 2 and 3, speaking of the church ages. So when it's talking about the church, it's talking about, you know, the bride coming up through those ages. And then in the fourth chapter, John is invited to come up hither, which is a heavenly scene. Amen, which is more of a rapture that has taken place. So the rapture is taking place, and now he's getting ready to show John all the things that have gone that have happened or will happen to the Jews. Now, when you really look at, actually, I won't steal the thunder. I don't think here, but the key things that we got to understand and read the scripture up to the third chapter, especially understanding the church ages, God is dealing with the Gentile church, and then. We are not going through a tribulation. That's a good thing to understand. Amen. The church or the bride, amen, will not go through the tribulation. Now, there are some quotes from Brother Randall say the church will go through, but not the bride. And the way that you catch that is that God is calling a bride out of a church, just like he called a nation out of a nation during the days of Moses and the children of Israel. They were living in Egypt, and God called the Israelites out of Egypt. He will call the bride out of the church. Amen. So this is what we're looking for in this particular hour. So it says this, says the church goes up on the third chapter of Revelations and does not return until the 19th chapter of Revelations. See, therefore the church misses the tribulation. The church misses the tribulation. I know that's contrary to pretty near every teacher I ever talked to, but I don't mean to be disagreeable. I mean to be your brother. But I must teach just as I can see it. If I don't, I can't put it together, you see? And now whether it goes up before the tribulation or after the tribulation, I want to go up with it. That's the main thing. Now, he's kind of throwing that off because I'm sure many people sitting there listening to him make that statement about the church is going to miss the tribulation. They got their own thoughts. I mean, and the confusion is set in over the church. If you talk to people about the rapture nowadays, there's a lot of people that don't even believe in it. They don't even know what to believe in regards to it. Do you believe in pre or post? You know, and pre is mean, it refers to, do you believe that the church can go before the tribulation? Post mean, do you believe the church can go after the tribulation? But according to God's prophet, the church is going, or the bride is going before the tribulation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the next quote here in Feast of the Trumpets. This kind of, I found a couple quotes that kind of reiterate this same point. Amen. We just kind of drive it home here about the church or the bride being dealt with. At the third chapter, you know, and after the third chapter, We never, the bride was dealt with again in chapter 19. But we're going to kind of, hopefully we'll get to a little spot here where we'll make that a little bit more clear. Here in Feast of the Trumpets, Brother Ram says, "Now I begin to notice that the preaching of the seven church ages, which is the pattern or the forecast of all that God was going to do for the churches and through the churches and positionally setting them up. The first three chapters of the book of Revelations reveals all the happenings unto the church." The first three chapters of the book of Revelations reveals all the happenings unto the church. That's the seven church ages. "Then from the third chapter unto the 19th chapter of Revelation, there is no more scene of the church. The church goes up at the fourth chapter of Revelations and returns back at the 19th chapter of Revelations, the bride and the groom together, coming to the earth. And then from the 19th chapter to the conclusive of the 22nd chapter, it's all on the millennium and what will be in the years that is to follow it. During the 4th to the 19th, God is dealing with Israel." Now, that is, that's very, very good for us to just kind of, you know, soak that in. The third chapter, after the ages and everything are done, amen, no more God dealing with the Gentile church anymore. Now he's dealing with Israel. Amen. He's dealing with Israel. A lot of things that we've seen, a lot of things that we have gone through already, we can see where it's getting ready to turn back to Israel. Amen. Thank God that we have the opportunity where we can just kind of see plainly past tense, current, as well as future tense. And that's what going through this study is all about. So help us understand things that really apply to us, things that do not apply to us. You know, I think the most thing that I want to be concerned about is making sure my life is right so I can get out of here. Amen. Having all this knowledge to know what's going to happen, I don't want to be here when it happens. Amen. But I want to just make sure my life is right so I can get out of here. So let's kind of keep going here with our next quote. Brother Branham brings some thoughts here in the 10 virgins and the 144,000 Jews, this message that he preaches. Amen. Here it says, "Now 1914, the world went to war. They have never been at peace since, constantly swinging in, swinging in, swinging in. And they're doing the very same thing yet. And what was they doing? Holding. Oh, God, have mercy. Holding that great thing that I saw in the vision. The whole thing become to destruction." I was I think in the last time that we were, when we were studying in Revelation chapter 18, I gave you all the seven visions, amen, before the coming of the Lord and how they unfolded in 1933. And one of them was debris all over the land of America. It's coming to destruction, amen. It's going to happen here in America. And again, I want to be ready to get out of here. Amen. These things begin to come down. Says, "Holding that great thing that I saw in the vision, the whole thing become to destruction, holding the atomic, holding the wars that they don't destroy themselves until the things come to destroy it, until Israel returns back and gets herself together. And then the message will go to Israel, and she'll be sealed with that seal of the Holy Ghost." See, after the Gentiles is called out, the people for his name's sake will be called out, which in this age right here, they're called. Then Israel only receives a 3-year and 6-month message. Now, again, people looking for a 7-year tribulation period, that will not occur. As we took you all through the book of Daniel, the Messiah, by the time he started his ministry, they had already finished the 69th week of the 70 weeks that was promised to Daniel. They had entered into the 70th week. A week, 7 days, and a week represented a seven-year period. So Jesus' ministry only lasted 3.5 years, and he was cut off, as the scripture said, Messiah would be cut off. So there's 3.5 years left for the Jews, where God will deal with those Jews again. So will not be a 7-year tribulation period. It will be a 3.5-year tribulation period. Again, many people in church have been teaching 7 years, 7 years. But the scripture plainly tells us that it's going to be 3.5 years. Amen. So here, as we go on here, it says, after the Gentiles is called out, she'll be sealed with that seal of the Holy Ghost. After the Gentiles is called out, the people for his name's sake will be called out, which is in this age right here, they're called. Then Israel only receives a 3-year and 6-month message. Daniel said so. There was 70 years prophesied to them, yet left for salvation for the Jews. He said, Messiah the Prince, which is Christ, will come and prophesy in the midst of that 70 years or 7 years, he'll be cut off. Jesus preached 3.5 years and was cut off, and the daily sacrifice was taken away, which Daniel said. All right. It says, and there was space given then for the Gentiles, and they come down to this age. Then there's 3.5 years left for the Jews. Now, if we get over in Revelation 11, we'll pick up exactly at the end. The church don't appear till the 19th chapter of Revelation. By the end of that, Elijah and Moses returns again and preach to the Jews. Two men anointed with that spirit, or maybe them anointed with that spirit, or maybe them theirself. They never died. Now, I thought that's really good. He says two men anointed with that spirit, or maybe them theirself. They never died. Now, there's other places where we can go back and prove where it's going to be actual physical Moses and Elijah, because they did not die. Brother Branham was anointed with the spirit of Elijah. John the Baptist was anointed with the spirit of Elijah. Elisha, a man in the scripture, was anointed with a double portion of Elijah's spirit. So here we know Elijah got caught up in a chariot of fire, taken up to heaven, so he never died. But he's coming back, amen, to complete his ministry there to the Jews. Moses, Bible does says, after the death of my servant Moses, so people will quickly take you there. Moses died. Only problem is that nobody knows where Moses was buried. Nobody. Because Moses went into the mountain. God told him because of what he did, he would not go over into the land. Amen. He called him on up into the mountain, and Brother Branham said he must have had angels for pallbearers. They took him away. And even the devil himself was disputing over the body of Moses. Where is it? You know, what happened to that fella? But God was saving him for a later time. And both Moses and Elijah's ministry will come back to fulfill Revelation 11. And I want to pick that up there in the scripture. Let me just finish a part of this quote here. And then we'll go to Revelation 11. It says, two men anointed with that spirit, and maybe them themselves, they never died. So they killed them, and they lay in the street called Sodom, where our Lord was crucified, Jerusalem. And after 3 days, while the spirit of life came into them, and they went up, raised up, and then about a third of the earth was blown to pieces at that time. They've done miracles and signs with the Jews. Now let's pick up Revelation 11 and just reacquaint ourselves with what is promised. Amen. We'll start at verse 1 here in Revelation 11. Actually, we'll start with verse 3. Verse 3 here. Praise the Lord. It says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. Oh my. And again, if you're just kind of reading this, this is a part that's related to, amen, something that happened with the Jews, not with the Gentile church. Amen. Not with the Gentile church. This is for the Jews. It says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as it will. If you ever have anyone question you as to the two witnesses being Moses and Elijah, because some people say it's Elijah and Enoch. That's what they say. The way that you know that it's Moses and Elijah, verse 6 tells you clearly about their ministries. That's how you know. It does not give their names, but it does give their ministries. And you can go back in scripture. You can see that Elijah had the power to shut the heavens so that it rained not in the days of his prophecy, as well as Moses had the power to turn the water to blood and smite the earth with all types of plagues. That's what happened down in Egypt. So by revelation, that's how we know it's Moses and Elijah, because the scripture has given a clear identification of their ministry. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. That's what we call prophetic insight. Verse 7 says, "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom, and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves." Now they must be pretty upset with these fellows that they won't even allow them to be buried. Amen. They won't, happy to see them laying there, you know, for three days and a half. So verse 10 says, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Amen. And I like that. After 3 days and a half. Now that's a perfect type of how long this period will take for the Jews. It'll be 3.5 years, amen. But they will lie in the streets for 3 days and a half, where the Spirit of God, Spirit of life from God, will enter back into them. And they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, "Come up hither." And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. All right, let's just finish up the last part of this quote. Just want to kind of go back and revisit that. Moses and Elijah are the two prophets that will come to deal with the Jews. Amen. And I kind of repeat this again. I've heard some say that they believe Moses and Elijah is here right now. I don't see why they would be here if the bride is here. Amen. There's no need. They're only coming for 3.5 year ministries. No need for them just to be walking the earth. Amen. I just can't see that really according to scripture. But here, let's go on. It says here in this paragraph 114, I believe. It says, "Now here's that Jews that they're coming to preach to, the world could not blow one another up or kill one another or destruction come until those Jews come back down on that place. Here sets the Bible saying so. He saw the four angels and watched what they got to receive. They got to receive the Holy Ghost just like they did. If that man with the inkhorn rider was the Holy Ghost, we realize that everybody that reads his Bible, why so is the same angel coming again with the Holy Ghost, the seal of the living God, Ephesians 4:30, the Holy Spirit of God, sealed unto the day of redemption." Amen. The inkhorn rider, I believe that's in the book of Ezekiel. I didn't pull that scripture, but I believe it's in Ezekiel, where it might be chapter 9. Where it talks about the inkhorn rider taking his ride. And Brother Bram said that represented the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God sealed into the day of redemption. And they cannot do nothing now until those Jews return. And just a few weeks ago, they clashed the whole thing together and becoming the UN. It's ready. We're at the end. Everything is sealed up now. All right, let's go on to this next quote here. The sixfold purpose of Gabriel's visitation. And let's just see something here. My God. Let's pull that scripture out of
Ezekiel 9. Brother Graham is referring to the inkhorn rider here. And Ezekiel 9. Starting at verse 1 says, "And he cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near.
Even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and
stood beside the brazen altar.
And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen,
which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh
and that cry for all the abominations that
be done in the midst thereof. My God, that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And this sighing and crying, amen, is where we should be even today.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So the sighing and crying is really where we should be at today. We should also see the abomination that's done in our city. Amen. Not just in the city. Sometimes just even in the church, the abomination that's done. We ought to be crying out to God that he would spare. Amen. That he would have mercy, that his grace would be extended. It's closer than we actually think, church. It's so much closer than we think. And I'm afraid that many of us just kind of go through life thinking, you know, that this rapture will never really take place, maybe not in our lifetime. But we are living in a generation where we may not see another 40 years, may not see. I mean, if so many things are happening so fast, even if you just look at the way that the homosexuality spread, that's one of the greatest signs of the end time. Some of the things that people do nowadays, they would have never done. We are living. Sodom and Gomorrah is on the earth now. And, you know, just so much is happening so fast, we're becoming immune because we see so much. But church, remember, scripture is being fulfilled right before our very eyes. Amen. So we want to be ready. We got to get ready to get out of here. We got to get down to business with God. Here it says, and the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem. Set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, Go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house, and he said unto them, Defile the house and fill the courts with the slain, and go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, The Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. So there was destruction that went through the land of Jerusalem, and the only people that were saved were those that were sighing and crying for the abomination that was in the city. There's going to be destruction that passes through our land, and the only ones that's going to be saved are those that's filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. This was a sign of being filled with the Holy Ghost. It caused you to sigh and cry. Amen. When Abraham got a visitation from Almighty God, and he knew that the end was coming for Sodom, by revelation, God visited him and told him, and he knew exactly what was getting ready to take place. Abraham began to cry out, peradventure, God, there be 50. Peradventure, there be 40. What about 35? 20, you know. Peradventure 10, he began to cry out to God, knowing what was going to happen. And church, with revelation, once revelation strike our heart and we know that this thing is winding up, it ought to drive us all to prayer. Amen. Quickly to prayer. Amen. It doesn't drive us to think that we're bigger and better than anybody else. It should drive us to prayer. Amen. All right, let's pick up this one other quote here out of the sixfold purpose of Gabriel's visit to Daniel. And maybe let's see here. I think I want to just bring in a Daniel 9:24 also here. Maybe just turn quickly to Daniel 9:24. When we talk about the sixfold purpose of Gabriel's visit to Daniel. Praise the Lord. These are the six things that were promised. I want to start a little earlier than that. You can see Daniel just in prayer. We read a quote just a few weeks ago. Let's start at verse 17. But we read a quote a few weeks ago where, while we were going through Revelation 18, where Brother Branham talked about Daniel began to count the years down. He knew that they were going to be in bondage for 70 years because it was prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah. And as he got to like year 67, 68, 69, he knew that things were going to happen. So he began to go back and see what the prophet Jeremiah said. And you know, and that's what we want to do. We want to hear what our prophet said. We know things are winding down, so we want to know what the prophet said about these things so that we're prepared, amen, for that great catching away. Here, Daniel in verse 17 says, now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Daniel is in prayer, recognizing that the end is near for the captivity. Daniel is in prayer. Church, it ought to drive us to prayer. Amen. Oh, my God, verse 18. Incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations. And the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. Amen. Our righteousness is not going to get it done. Amen. But because of his mercy, we can make it. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and that's, I just love the Daniel prophet saying that he was confessing his sin. You know, not just everybody else sin, but, you know, sometimes turn the flashlight on yourself. Lord, show me, and let me just be concerned about me. You know, while you're concerned about yourself, also be concerned about your brother and sister and pray for them. You know, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, these are the six things that were going to happen during that 70-week period that he promised Daniel. He says 70 weeks
are determined upon thy people. And each week represented a 7-year period. Amen. Each week represented a 7-year period. So there's 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. And this is the first thing that's going to happen, a sixfold purpose, to finish the transgression. That's the first thing. Second, and to make an end of sins. My God. When you think about the transgression, when they rejected the Lord Jesus, you know, they let his blood be on us and on our children. The Jews rejected Christ. Now, he already knew what was going to happen. He already told Daniel here, right there written in the scripture, that they was going to transgress. They was going to sin against him. You know, he already knew these things. So that's why when he got to the cross and said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. He knew that they'd be blinded. And the reason that they were blinded, church, is so that we could sit here in these chairs here tonight. Amen. And read the things that we read. This is God's grace to us. Otherwise, we'd be out, amen, looking for some club to get into, even on a Wednesday night. Amen. At some bar or something like that, amen, trying to drink our problems away. But God saw fit to pull us out of a world of sin, amen, and bring us and sit us here so we can hear the truth. Thank God for that. That's what we call amazing grace. Amen. To make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity. You know, God gonna make, he's going to reconcile them. Even though they were blind, he's going to reconcile with them. And to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy. Amen. It's going to be closed up, the vision and prophecy. Now it's over. And to anoint the most holy, which is the millennium temple. So these are six things that are going to happen within that 70-week period. So three and a half days or half the week, we could say, is left to complete all of this. Amen. 3.5 years is left to complete what we just read there in Daniel 9:24. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's go to this last quote, and then we'll probably call it a night for tonight. My. All right. This is out of the sixfold purpose of Gabriel's visit to Daniel. Excuse me. Brother Branham says this. Now, after this, the bride appears. After the 70 weeks, the bride appears in Revelation's the 19th chapter, the 1st and the 16th verse. She arrives with her bridegroom, the mighty king. Oh, my, I don't know whether we're going to get it all or not. Just got it. So let's just read part of this anyhow. Here's where the bride will come after this. See, after the millennium sets in, then Christ comes back with the bride, right? 1-16 in the 19th chapter. Now, he's reading Revelation 19, and he's going through from verse 1 to verse 16. And we'll just catch all the little comments that he makes in between. Verse 1, after these things, says after this tribulation, after the woes, after the seals, after the plagues, after the casting out of Satan, after the setting up of the millennium, watch. After these things, I heard a voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory, honor, power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are thy judgments, for he had judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servant at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. That's the old prostitute church. Her smoke rose up. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat upon the throne, saying, Alleluia, amen, alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it was the voice of a great multitude. Listen, here you are, church. After she went up in the 3rd chapter, here she comes, see? And the 6th verse. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah, watch, the marriage of the Lamb comes now. Here she comes. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. Amen. Here she comes, both bride and bridegroom, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell down at the feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See, thou doest it not. I am of thy fellow servant, thy brethren, and have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and a white horse, oh my, and he that sat thereon was called Faithful and True. Righteous does he judge and make war, and his eyes was as flames of fire. His head was many crowns. He was crowned, what? King of kings. And he had a name written that no man know but himself, and he was clothed with white vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who was it? Jesus. So it's time, John chapter 1, right into here, Revelation 19. And, you know, there's a, we were talking just this week, and we were talking about the only begotten of the Father, Jesus Christ being the only begotten Son. Or also, and there's one scripture say he was the first begotten, and only begotten and first begotten. The thing about it is that when God, being a spirit at the beginning, knew that we wouldn't be able to identify him in that particular means, giving us a body where we have to contact and identify things through our five senses, to see, the hear, the taste, the smell, the feel, amen. You know, that's how we identify things. Amen. It's my. Thank God. You know, and the unfortunate part about that is that, like, you know, if you can be in a room or in a house or something like that, and you know, you're trying to identify the person that might be in another room, you can't see them, but if you just get them to talk and hear their voice, then you can identify who that person is. Amen. And then there's sometimes where a person might not be able to talk, right? But you know, if you can just see them, you know the face of that person. Amen. Because you've talked to them in the past, you can identify by what you see. All right. Amen. Different things that you might touch. You want to know whether water's hot or cold. Well, stick your hand in it, right? And you'll know whether it's hot or cold. You can identify it by touch. Now, by just looking at the water, you don't know. It's just water. Yeah, I mean, you see some steam coming up off of it. You might think it's really hot, but that might not altogether be true, you know. So, you know, you with these five senses, that's how we contact this earthly realm. However, amen, we use those same five senses to try to contact God, and that's where we get in trouble. Because if we can't feel no better, we don't believe we're no better. See, right? Take our levels or whatever, and levels still have the same reading that they had before, then we say we're not no better. Amen. You got to keep calling things that be not as though they were. See? Amen. If you all get a chance, I want you to go to our church website. I just put a post out there of that quote that I quoted a couple weeks ago, where Brother Branham had told his brother that he had diabetes, and just go believing. He didn't pray for him. He said, just go believing. Then he had the whole congregation repeat a prayer. He said, you all repeat after me. And they said this prayer, and in the prayer he says something like, I call those things that are as though they are not. Now that's a powerful statement. I call those things that are. That means when you read your levels, that's exactly what you see, what your levels say. But I call those things that are as though they are not. See, I'm not, you can't be moved by what you see. You can't be moved by what the doctors told you what somebody else told you. You got to be moved by what God's word says. He's the God that healeth all of your diseases, every last one of them. So, you know, I mean, it's time for us to kind of walk in this particular level. And my, I tell you, if I'm going to walk in that way, and if I don't make it, I'm going to die trying. That's just that. That's where I'm, that's I've come to that. Lord, I'm going to have faith. I mean, I am tired of this. I want to see God manifest himself in me, you know. Amen. You know, so we gotta come to the spot. And I put that there. I think it'd be something that, you know, people used to have, the especially the name and claim it ministries, used to always have something that you would kind of post on the on your mirror or something like that. But if you want to post something on your mirror, print out that quote that I put out there on the website. Put that and just confess it every day. I call those things that are. Take your levels. Look at them. I call those things that are as though they are not. And walk by faith. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. All right. I'm not sure exactly where I was in that. What? Let's pick that up again. Okay, let's just start there. In the beginning was the word. Is that right? I can't even find that on this paper. Let's see. And I fell down at your feet. See if I can just find that. Here she comes, Brian. Okay, all right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who was it? Jesus. And his name is called the Word of God. And I think I was going somewhere with that, how Jesus being the first begotten, only begotten. God was a spirit, but he gave birth to himself. And giving birth to himself, he became like a halo, a light, the same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel, amen, out of the wilderness. It was a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. Also, when Paul was on the road to Damascus, he saw the same pillar of fire and said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he says, "I am Jesus." Well, that same pillar of fire is what took a picture with God's prophet. Amen. It's spoken of in Scripture, but now we see it. It's over the head of God's prophet. Amen. The same pillar of fire that Scripture speak of, that's our Lord Jesus in that form. Amen. In pillar of fire form, he being the first begotten of God, the first begotten. Amen. So, but that pillar of fire did not stay in that form. That pillar of fire also became a body of flesh, which is the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as flesh, he was able to die for our sins and redeem us back unto God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it's always been Jesus. Always been Jesus. Amen. All right, let's keep going here. Okay. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who was it? Jesus. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Glory, here he comes. And it just, this quote just, I didn't bring a quote, but I'll tell you the story really quick. Let me just finish reading the scripture, and that way I won't get lost in it again. Clothed in fine linen, and white and clean. Glory, here he comes. And out of his mouth will go a sharp sword, that it shall smite the nations and shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let me just tell you this quick story. Brother Branham, I mean, and I tell you, church, with the experiences that God gave his prophet, we can just stay encouraged. You know, we can stay encouraged really at all times. He had... I know a dog that he lost, and he had vowed to kill this man that killed his dog. He had a horse that died on him. You know, different things that he just really loved that died on him. And Brother Random used to go around telling people that, you know, I saw my horse in heaven. I saw my dog in heaven, you know. Now, that was just a little bit too far-fetched for some people to believe. You know, not only that, he was working hard and working hard. Amen. He had a chair that he was trying to pay a nickel or a quarter a week or something like that, something real inexpensive. But they didn't have the money to pay for the chair. The chair got repossessed. And that chair, and his wife brought him into the kitchen. She was cooking for him and gave him a nice cherry pie or whatever and just tried to keep his spirits lifted up. She didn't want him to know that that chair was gone. And he said, no, let's just walk into the other room. She was like, no, let's stay right here in the kitchen. No, let's walk in the other room. No, let's just stay right here in the kitchen. And he said, no. And so she just started crying. He went through that door, and when he went through the door and saw the chair was gone, his wife just started crying. She was so disappointed that they lost the chair, you know, because that was his chair where he'd just come in and just rest for the day. Well, that same wife, one day, God called her home, and Brother Branham had the opportunity to go to the other side, and he saw her, and he saw his chair that he repossessed. He saw the horse that died. He saw the dog that died. He saw all of these things that had passed on, and he heard the voice of the Lord tell him, everything that you loved and everything that ever loved you will be right here. And I'm going to tell you, some people believe that only belongs to the prophet. I believe it belongs to the bride. Amen. When he shared testimony like that, I'm taking that for myself. Everything I love and everything that ever loved me, I'm going to see on the other side. Amen. So I hold on to little promises like that. But somebody questioned Brother Branham, like, you know, Brother Branham, now, you know, you're going a little bit too far to talk about animals in heaven. You know, I mean, that's just a little bit too much. So he said, okay, well, brother, could you tell me where did the horse come from that Jesus rode on in Revelation 19 coming out of the heavens? Where was that? Was it on the earth or was it in heaven? So if you saying ain't no animals in heaven, where was that horse that Jesus got on to come out of the heavens? So that just kind of put it right back in the scripture, right back in the scripture. You know, thank God for a prophet, because somebody would have told me that. I'm like, well, you're kind of right. Maybe God didn't show me that. Maybe I'll just take that one back. No, it's right there in the scripture, and it's going to take spiritual revelation to be able to kind of, you go in there and find that and, you know, stand on it. Praise the Lord. Everything I love and everything that they've loved me, I'm looking forward to seeing it over there. Praise the Lord. All right, let's finish up this. I think just a couple more paragraphs on this, and then we'll be done. Say, what was it? His people that had just crowned him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, coming back to his holy temple, anointed with the presence of God to live and to reign through the millennium with his church. Amen. The appearing with the mighty King to take her place at his side, the new royal anointed temple. Now the sixfold purpose of Revelation 6:1 to Revelation 19:21 is fulfilled. The sixfold purpose of Revelation 6:1, and that's the opening of the first seal, amen, to Revelation 19:21 is fulfilled. Listen, now in closing, the seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials, three woes, woman and the sun, casting out of the devil or the red dragon, comes between these times during the great tribulation period. Don't forget it. All these things take place during this time, but here's the sixfold purpose of his coming. Do you believe it? What a glorious time lays in store for those who love the Lord. I tell you, friends, we can't afford to miss that. Don't miss that. But whatever you do, be sure. And as we, you know, he's just kind of bringing again, we start out saying the church is no longer dealt with after Revelation chapter 3, the bride, I should say, Revelation 1 through 3, talking about the church ages. The bride is no longer seen until, amen, Revelation 19, which is the point that Brother Branham was trying to make. But what we do see, amen, as we just kind of go through Revelation 6 all the way to Revelation 18, when you look at the seals, what the seals did was just give us a revelation of things that have happened, amen, since the days of Jesus being on the earth, when Paul as the first messenger started out. But really the first four seals deal only with the church ages. But then seal 5 and seal 6 deal with the Jews, okay? Seal 7 represents the coming of the Lord. And so all of these things are, it's just really revelation of things that has happened, things that will happen, and things that are currently happening. Just as we even showed you all in the book of Revelation where the United States coming up in Revelation 13, you know, and what that was all about. These are things that had happened. You know, how they're going to give their authority over to the beast. That's something that will happen. You know, also, I think we brought up to you how the World War had started and come to a halt. You know, nobody knows how it actually came to a halt. That was a part of, that's something that happened in history. So when we can catch the different things that have already occurred in history, it helps us see how the scripture is already being fulfilled. So it's nothing for us to be waiting for. It's something for us to get in a hurry and realize that God is already moving. Amen. I was talking with Brother Belton, and you know, I closed with this comment. He was telling me after he left here, he went back home and he went to his college class, taking that math class. Y'all heard him talking about that on Sunday, and he say they start getting into all kind of formulas in there and what the formulas meant. And he say, brother, it just opened my head. He say it sound like they're talking about seals and thunders, you know, inside the classroom with all of that. And but you know, as we were talking, I said, you know what? And many of you all that are have gone and taken algebra classes or whatever, and they've sat there and they taught you all these formulas and what this means and this and how you write these equations. In order for you to get the answers right on your test, you had to understand the revelation, or you had to get the revelation, I should say, of those symbols that they gave you in the math class. If you can catch the revelation of the symbols in the math class, you can also catch the revelation of symbols in the Bible. Right. Amen. Amen. So don't ever let anybody tell you that you can't understand that. If you can understand math, you can understand the scripture. Praise the Lord. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for your word, how we appreciate the opportunity, Lord, to hear what your prophet has said about various things. And we can just take it, Lord, and line ourselves up with it. Lord, we'll be prepared and ready for the great catching away. So many things that have happened, so many things that are happening right now, and things that will happen. Lord, help us to catch where we are right now, that, Lord, we do everything we can in order, Father, just to catch that rapture. We don't want to miss it, Lord. And I pray that you give us a burden to pray for lost souls, to sigh and cry, the abomination in the city, Lord, our family members that are lost. We should not want to see one family member miss it, God. That should be our desire, not one. We don't want one to miss it. And God, give us that burden that we just love people the way that you love them, that we care for people the way that you care for them, and we would treat them, Lord, the way that you want us to treat them. We pray, God, that you would bless us, that you would help us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's prepare for tonight's tithes and offering. Amen. To ask that, as I was talking to Brother Belton, he had mentioned to me about Brother Timothy, and he's a brother that actually sang and he fell. But the other thing they found out is Brother Timothy had broken his ankle in two places, and he did not know it. He did not know that he broke his ankle in two places, so. We just want to keep him in prayer that God would bring healing to his body, and you know that he'll be okay. But we think the ankle probably could have been broken. They said that one point during the concert he really jumped. He was just so excited, he jumped back there in the back, and he landed awkwardly, and that was Saturday night. But you know he just didn't feel it, so. I think when he kind of start moving around there a little bit on Sunday night, he didn't know what was there, you know, what had happened with the ankle. And I think the ankle could have gave way a little bit, and that's probably why it did fail. That's why it fell, did fall. But so keep him in prayer that God would touch his body,
amen, and just restore him to complete and total health. Amen. Just a few announcements that we need to mention. Actually, I'll tell you what I'll do. We'll just have a word of prayer over the offering, and then while we're doing the offering, then I'll make mention of the announcements that we have here. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we're able to give back to you as you've given to us. We pray that you use this for the furtherance of your kingdom here on earth. We trust, oh God, that you would restore 100-fold to each and every one of us, Lord, that give willingly and cheerfully to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Want to remind you, for the young people, there's a youth service going to be at Brother Jean's, Lewis Jean's, on